Good evening, church. If you would take out a Bible and turn with me in your Old Testament to 2 Chronicles chapter 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 13. We want to look at God's Word together there this evening. Hope that you had a very pleasant afternoon. I'm so glad we can be back together as God's people in this place to worship Him. It's a fine way to bring a day to close and to start another week, to be with those of like precious faith and to be encouraged as we worship the true and living God and study from His Word. I loved the sermon this morning that Brother Edwin preached. It really was a blessing to me to hear that exposition of Romans chapter 8. And from time to time, I need to be reminded that it is going to be all right for those that are in Christ and for God's people. And so that was certainly a blessing that we could think about that this morning. Tonight, we're going to be talking about King Abijah. King Abijah. And as you know, I like to choose a title for a lesson where people say, I don't know much about that, or that sounds interesting, or that could be very intriguing. And I think for many people, this title right here, King Abijah, works just fine. I think a lot of us would say, well, I don't know a whole lot about him. Might be interesting. Who was that king again? In fact, when I recently was reading through Kings and Chronicles, I read over the name King Abijah, and I was trying with all my might to recall that wonderful timeline of the kings that is in so many of the Bible classrooms here around, our church building, our campus. This timeline that shows all the different kings in the divided kingdom era of Israel's history. And I'm trying to think, okay, so was King Abijah, was he a red hat or was he a blue hat? Because the red hat kings, those are the kings of the northern 10 tribes, what were called Israel, the nation of Israel. The blue hats were the kings of the southern 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, the kingdom called Judah. And then once I could decide, was it red or was it blue, I had to remember, okay, was he smiling or was he frowning? Because they're all either smiling or they're frowning. And so if you are guessing right now, blue hat, frowny face, then you are right. That is King Abijah. There's Abijah, or as his name appears in 1 Kings 15, Abijam. The smiles or the frowns are simply to communicate and help the children remember whether the king followed God faithfully over the course of his life or not. And so why do we want to talk about the blue hat frowning King Abijam tonight? Why indeed? One commentator I read said that Abijah's rule was simply forgettable, a forgettable king. It only lasted 3 years. And the Bible says he was a wicked king. And so this particular fellow was a lot more interested. Well, let's just go ahead and talk about his son Asa. Now, he had a son Asa who was a good king, and he was a spiritual reformer, and he ruled for 40 years. Asa's great. His dad, Abijah, forgettable. Well, I'll tell you that if a long reign makes a memorable king, then yes, Abijah is forgettable, and he does get overlooked. But I was noticing this, that Abijah's father, King Rehoboam, had great confidence in him, prepared him to be the king. I was noticing that the Lord used Abijah to bring to an end a 20-year period of open conflict and civil war in Israel. And he ushered in a decade of peace, a decade of peace that he himself did not live to enjoy. But it was a peace that surely helped his son Asa to get started on the right foot as king. I was noticing that an entire speech, as well as a battle that Abijah led, is recorded in the Bible. And you can't say that about all of the kings. I also noticed this, that if you read about Abijah in the book of 1 Chronicles, there is not a bad word said about him. He's a mighty man of valor. He's fighting for God. But if you read about Abijah in the book of 1 Kings, there's not a single good word said about him. He's a sinful man. He's a wicked man. Now, how does that work? How does that go together? And remember, he only reigned for 3 years. I think there's some very interesting things to learn here about Abijah. We're going to learn from King Abijah. We're going to learn about his background. We're going to learn about his valor. And we're going to learn about his failure. And so we're going to take some lessons home with us tonight that's going to strengthen our own relationship to God. So I'm really glad you're here. We're going to learn about King Abijah. As we go to the interactive outline, number one, King Abijah and his background. Let's talk a little moment, just kind of paint the picture, get us ready for what we're going to look at in 2 Chronicles 13, King Abijah and his background. Well, first off, maybe we should settle this. What's his name again? In 2 Chronicles 13, it's Abijah, which means Yahweh is my father. But in 1 Kings 15, it's spelled consistently Abijam. Abijam. Which the common meaning is understood, my father is indeed Yahweh. It is the same name, but an archaic spelling that communicated an emphatic inflection. And there are some other ideas about why the spelling is different between the two books, but I kind of like this one the best. Because basically it's the same name, and we are talking about the same king. So Abijah or Abijam, but this is the king that we are discussing tonight. King Abijah truly, and I'll probably say Abijah for the most part, King Abijah truly descended from kings. Now I'm going to do this one family tree style, but to show you that he had King David's sons on both sides of his family. Let's talk about who his dad was first. Rehoboam was Abijah's father. Kind of looking up and then to the left of the screen, there's Rehoboam. And Rehoboam had parents who were Solomon. Of course, that's the son of David and the rightful king of the kingdom. And then also a mother named Naamah. And we are told twice that Naamah was an Ammonitess, was a foreign woman and not one of God's people. In 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 1, we're told a little bit about Abijah's grandfather Solomon, as well as these wives, of which Naamah would be an example. In 1 Kings 11 verse 1, but King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. Naamah, would be an Ammonite. From the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it was so when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Naamah is an Ammonite woman. She is one of these queens. She has introduced some of this religion. Yes, Solomon's heart was not loyal to God, verse 4 says. The wives turned his heart away from God, an Ammonite's particular name for their idolatry. This lack of loyalty and open idolatry prompted the Lord to punish Solomon. The kingdom that was to be his dynasty and his sons ruling for all time, that would be torn in two parts. And while Judah would survive, Israel, these 10 northern tribes, would become an independent kingdom, greater in size, greater in number, these northern tribes of Israel, and David's dynasty would continue to rule only in the south of Judah. That's what's going on his father's side. Abijah had a dad named Rehoboam, had a dad named Solomon, had a dad named King David. He comes from kings. Who's his mother? Maacah. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verses 21 and 22, 2 Chronicles 11, verses 21 and 22. Now Rehoboam loved Maacah, the granddaughter of Absalom, more than all his wives and his concubines. For he took 18 wives and 60 concubines, and begot 28 sons and 60 daughters. And Rehoboam appointed Abijah, the son of Maacah, as chief, to be leader among his brothers, for he intended to make him king. Maacah was loved most by Rehoboam. And you notice there in the verse that we read, the lineage, she is a granddaughter of Absalom. Absalom was Abijah's great-grandfather. Absalom has a daughter named Tamar. She marries a man named Uriel. They have this daughter at Maacah. And some wonder if King Solomon might have arranged that marriage. He was a very wise man. Maybe he wanted his son Rehoboam to be married to a descendant of Absalom and try to consolidate power a little bit in the kingdom. And that's entirely possible. But whether he picked it or not, that was the one he really loved. He loved Maacah. She turned his head. She did it for him. And her son was the one that he wanted to make his king. That's Abijah. That's Abijah. I want you to know this about Abijah. He's a civil war king. He reigns, as we have it out up on the chart there, for only 3 years, approximately from 914 to 911 B.C., okay? And we're not told how old he was when he came to power. We're not told how old he was when he died. But if we just give kind of the normal course of life to all this scenario, he likely was a boy and even an early teenager when Solomon yet reigned over a united kingdom of Israel. He grew to manhood and he was invested with responsibility and prepared to be the next king during his father Rehoboam's reign. That was a 17-year reign. But appreciate that the entirety of his father's reign was war, was this civil war. As God's judgment upon Solomon comes to pass, the kingdom is torn in two. The king of the northern tribes is Jeroboam. Let's say that's him. And then we got the drawing of Rehoboam down in the south. And the whole time Rehoboam is just trying to bring these kingdoms back together. God's not interested in that. In fact, if Jeroboam will follow God in the way that Solomon should have followed God, God would do something great with Jeroboam. But we're going to see that he did not. No, after God had used Jeroboam to lead the northern kingdom of Israel, Jeroboam himself stopped trusting in God. Instead, you'll see two towns on the map, Dan, far in the north, Bethel, on the southern border of Israel. And in these two towns, what Jeroboam did was he built golden calves. He created a whole nother system of worship for his people to follow, so they would not return to Jerusalem, so that they would stop worshiping the true and living God. He led all of that nation away into evil idolatry. That's what's going on with Jeroboam and Rehoboam during these 17 years that they're fighting. Rehoboam's not right, but Jeroboam's not right either. And he's been leading the people down the wrong path. Well, that takes us then to 2 Chronicles chapter 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 13. For there in the scriptures we read, in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, Abijah became king over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Micaiah, that's another alternate spelling, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah. And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. Abijah knew when his father passed, it was his turn to lead the war. I want to sum up this background just a little bit. Abijah's raised up knowing he should be king over all Israel. He knew that it wasn't working out that way, though. He knew that there is a God of Israel, Yahweh. He knew that God's temple was in Jerusalem and all of the religious service for the true God was happening there. But he also saw an awful lot of idolatry in his life and even among his own family. These forces all seem to shape his valor as well as his failure. Let's talk about his valor. Number two in your notes, King Abijah, his valor, his valor. 2 Chronicles 13, verse 2 ended, and there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. Now, I want to notice with you for just a moment that Abijah really is, as a king, a better preacher than a general. Okay? And when we hear the sermon that was read so well a moment ago, I think you'll see that. Boy, this guy, he could really preach. I don't know what kind of a general he is. He makes some tactical mistakes, but boy, he can really preach. Okay. Now, verse 3 says this. Abijah set the battle in order with an army of valiant warriors, 400,000 choice men. Jeroboam also drew up in battle formation against him with 800,000 choice men, mighty men of valor. Then Abijah stood on Mount Zimmerim, which is the mountains of Ephraim, and said, "Hear me, Jeroboam, and all Israel." All right, just right here. He showed up. He's got 400,000 men. That's a pretty good army. Jeroboam shows up. He's got 800,000 men. That's twice as many. Where's the battle going to be? He says that he picked the spot, Mount Zimmerim. This is a mountain in the border area between the two warring states. And it does appear that Abijah has the high ground. So what's he do with it? He preaches a sermon. Verse 5. Should you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the dominion over Israel to David forever, to him and his sons, by a covenant of salt? He's saying that this is God's covenant. The business about it being salt is its immutability. God made a word, and God always keeps his word. So who ought to be your king? Going on to verse 6. Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, rose up and rebelled against his Lord. Then worthless rogues gathered to him and strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and inexperienced and could not withstand them. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord, which is in the hand of the sons of David, and you are a great multitude. And with you are the gold calves which Jeroboam made for you as gods. What's he say? I see a sea of you people out there and your golden calves. You've come to fight against the true God and his army, his people. Going on to verse 9. Have you not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron and the Levites, and made for yourselves priests like the peoples of the other lands? So that whoever comes to consecrate himself with a young bull and seven rams may be a priest of things that are not God's. He says, you've kicked out all the priests, all the Levites, all of God's ministry and messengers. You've just done with them. Anybody that wants to be a priest in your system can be. He just gets to consecrate himself. You have kicked God out in this facade of a religion. Verse 11. And they burn. Excuse me, verse 10. But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. And the priests who minister to the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites attend to their duties. And they burn to the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. They also set the showbread in order on the pure gold table and the lampstand of gold with its lamps to burn every evening. For we keep the command of the Lord our God, but you have forsaken him. Now look. God himself is with us as our head, and his priests with sounding trumpets to sound the alarm against you, O children of Israel. Do not fight against the Lord God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. One commentary I read called this a harangue, that he was haranguing them. But let's just add this up. He's got half the army of Jeroboam. Jesus actually describes a similar situation to Abijah's in Luke chapter 14, verse 31, about counting the cost. He says, what king is there who, when going into the battle, looks at his 10,000 men to see if they can meet the 20,000 men, and will he not send messengers to go and make peace? You don't start something if you only got half the manpower. Abijah knows he's got half the manpower, but he's got a different strategy. I'm just going to call on God. We're fighting for God. That's what he says. That's what he says. And God was for Judah. Abijah is speaking boldly this day, but he's speaking a whole lot of truth. He is saying the right things. He had the courage to stand up and to tell it, that God made a covenant with David's dynasty. God keeps his word. He is saying, I am the rightful king, and I'm serving the right God. He says, you've sinned. You have rebelled. You've created false religion. He says, yeah, you've got soldiers, but you've also got golden calves. We have God with us. He was outnumbered. But what he knew was that God was with him. Now, while he's talking, and he's a great preacher, what's Jeroboam doing, who's been leading armies for 18 years? Verse 13. But Jeroboam caused an ambush to go around behind them. And so they were in front of Judah, and the ambush was behind them. So he's up there talking, and what's Jeroboam doing? He's deploying the troops. You want to talk? Keep talking. We're going to fight you guys. We're going to beat you guys. Verse 14. Wait a second, I think I got a picture for this one. Yeah. So verse 14. And when Judah looked around, to their surprise, the battle line was at both front and rear. And so they cried out to the Lord, and the priests sounded the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it happened that God struck Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. Then Abijah and his people struck them with a great slaughter. So 500,000 choice men of Israel fell slain. And thus the children of Israel were subdued at that time. And the children of Judah prevailed because they relied on the Lord God of their fathers. And Abijah pursued Jeroboam and took cities from him, Bethel with its villages, Jeshana with its villages, and Ephraim with its villages. So Jeroboam did not recover strength again in the days of Abijah, and the Lord struck him, and he died. But Abijah grew mighty. I want to notice this, that while Abijah's talking, Jeroboam's acting, but who's God for? God's for Judah. And they fought, and they routed their enemy. And it was the greatest judgment that God brought against Israelites in number to that point, in number of lives. I don't know if you think about that, what that means, that 500,000 Israelites were killed that day and given into the hand by God. He had done that from time to time before. You might be able to see that all right. You know, 3,000 Israelites killed by the Levites with the golden calf at Sinai, or 23,000 killed by God with the golden calf at Sinai, or at Kadesh Barnea, 14,700 were killed, or 120,000 were killed by God in Shiloh and Beth Shemesh. These different instances where God punished Israel and judged Israel for the lack of faith in various and sundry wickedness. But compared to 500,000, this is absolutely a statement battle of God bringing judgment upon Jeroboam and his followers for the very wickedness that Abijah enumerates. He uses Abijah here to bring judgment upon Jeroboam and his followers. This is about Abijah's valor. He delivered peace to his son, Asa. In fact, when you look at chapter 14 and verse 1. So Abijah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. 10 years of quiet land, that's something Abijah never saw in his lifetime. Never did. But he had it set up for Asa. That's incredible. He's this mighty man of valor, an instrument of God in judgment upon the wickedness of idolatry and sin. He's a great leader, as Chronicles tells us, this episode in his life. And yet, when we read together in 1 Kings chapter 15, we're not being taught about his great valor. We're being taught about his failure. His failure. And so I want to go with you now to 1 Kings chapter 15. While you're turning to 1 Kings 15, I may just say, with all of Abijah's preaching, the last thing he said to the people on that day, there were over a million of them listening to him, was, O children of Israel, do not fight against the Lord God or your fathers. You shall not prosper. He didn't want to have the fight that day. He wanted him to surrender. He wanted to be reunited. That's what he wanted. But Jeroboam led him in a fight. And we saw God's judgment through Abijah's hand. In 1 Kings chapter 15, though, it's about his failure. 1 Kings 15, verse 1. In the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Abijam became king over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maacah, the granddaughter of Abishalom. It's Absalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. His heart was not loyal to the Lord, but his God, as was the heart of his father David. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem by setting up his son after him and establishing Jerusalem. Because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. Except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all they did, are they not written in the books of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. So Abijam rested with his fathers. They buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. There's this little statement that there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. That's what we were just learning about. That's what we were just reading about. And in fact, his valor and conquest was so great. Did you notice that one of the cities that he captured was actually Bethel, where the golden calf was, where Jeroboam had a seat of power? Abijah even took that. But be that as it may, We're looking at something different now. We are taught in 1 Kings 15 that this fellow continued in the sins of his father. His father was Rehoboam. His grandfather is Solomon. And what we see is that there are heart issues in this family. Heart issues when it comes to following God. What is said about Solomon is that his heart was turned from the Lord. In 1 Kings 11 verse 8, he started well, but it was turned. What is said about Rehoboam in 2 Chronicles 12 and verse 14? Rehoboam never prepared his heart to seek the Lord. He wasn't about that. He wasn't interested in that. Okay? What we just read here about Abijah in verse 3 is that his heart was not loyal to the Lord. And in contrast to all these is the next one, the son Asa. And what does it say of him? Well, his heart was loyal to the Lord. And just like the father David, his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God. His heart was not loyal to the Lord his God. And I think that explains it. I think that explains how you can have an episode in Chronicles where this guy is all great and have an episode in Kings where he is failing. There is a lack of loyalty in his heart. It seems that this is a fellow who could serve two gods, or perhaps serve even more than two. And clearly Abijah did not reject God. As the fighter, as the warrior, there are times he believes in God. He appeals to God. He's going to rely on God, not his own strength. He didn't have enough men, but he was going to trust God. However, the problem was Abijah did not reject the idols. He did not cast out the idols and all of the false religion going on, which he was responsible for. Abijah allowed idolatry, especially in the family, to lead the nation. Now in 1 Kings chapter 14 and verse 22, 1 Kings 14 and verse 22, the scripture says this: Now Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they committed, more than all their fathers had done. For they also built for themselves high places, sacred pillars and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. And there was also perverted persons in the land. They did according to all the abominations of all the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. That was all happening on King Rehoboam's watch. That was what was going on when Abijah is growing up. And Abijah apparently could live with that and continue on with that. His son Asa would not. And what becomes so striking, as I share with you this in 1 Kings 15 verses 12 through 14... Who is one of the leading idolaters and leaders of the false religion? Look at verse 12, 1 Kings 15, verse 12. Asa comes on the scene. Abijah's dead now after his three-year reign. It says this: Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did his father David. And he banished the perverted persons from the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. Also, he removed Maacah, his grandmother, from being queen mother because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. And Asa cut down her obscene image and burned it in the brook Kidron. His grandmother? Abijah's mother? Is one of the leaders of idolatry in the land. Has built this idol in the land. And Abijah apparently could allow for that. But Asa could not. Now, Abijah could have put a stop to the wicked idolatry if he had had a loyal heart to the Lord. But what would he have done? He would have had to face his mother, Maacah. And he wasn't about to do that. Or at least he chose not to do that. And that's the difference between here's Abijah's heart. It's not loyal to God. And Asa's heart, it is. You see, Abijah's failure was personally, and then by extension nationally, he abdicated his spiritual leadership. He would not stay loyal and true to God. He allowed others, and especially his mother, to practice this idolatry and this evil. The same type of idolatry and evil he could see in Jeroboam and condemn in Jeroboam. It's going on in his own house. Well, let's take three lessons from King Abijah, and the lesson will be yours. Three observations, three lessons from both his valor as well as his failure. Number one, from his valor, we need to take courage to speak God's truth to others. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1, Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1, Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Just like Abijah calling on Jeroboam's forces to surrender, to repent, don't fight against God. When we see brethren overtaken in trespass and sin, what are we to do about it? Well, we're supposed to speak up about it. Considering ourselves, but we are supposed to speak up. And Abijah was so bold to preach before an audience of over a million soldiers and call for Jeroboam to repent of all of his sins and all of his idolatry. But he would not go and speak to his mother Maacah about the same things. And it takes as much courage to do the right thing and speak truth at home as anywhere else. But we must start at home. Abijah should have started at home. Be courageous to speak God's truth to others and start at home. A second lesson, loyalty to God. We looked at the hearts of these kings and how they are described. Loyalty to God means both the accepting of God as well as the rejecting of idols. The casting out of idols. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 24, the Lord Jesus speaks to this very issue. Now, Abijah is the double-minded man. And perhaps he was truly so blind, he did not see that Maacah and Jeroboam were doing the same sorts of things. But Abijah's heart is not loyal. He could be staying and serving God as long as he was serving God, you know. But he failed to cut out all the others. Jesus Christ does not want us to make the same mistake. What does Matthew 6 verse 24 say? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What other masters are vying for your service? You say, I love God and I serve God, but what else are you serving? What do we fail to cast out? Is it the mammon, money and stuff? Is your God your belly? Is it your appetites, your passions, the lust of the flesh? Is the idol the pleasures and the riches of the world? Is the idol's covetousness? Is it a family relationship or at least a dear relationship to you that you would never cross this one to be faithful to God or even cut out that one to be faithful to God? You won't be loyal to God because you must be loyal to these idols. We need to be loyal followers of God, loyal children of God. And then finally, from Abijah we see, do not make his mistake. Do not abdicate your spiritual influence and your leadership among others. Don't set that aside. That's what Abijah did. He's the king, but he does not start at home with his mother and all the idolatry going on there in his own city. But hey, he's busy. And he's a warrior. And when God's with him, he's a real good warrior. Good warrior. He didn't reign very long, only 3 years. So what's he do? Well, he left his mother in charge of the spiritual things. That's what it looks like. And what does she do? She worships Asherah. She leads others to do the same thing. He just abdicated that part of his role, that part of who he's supposed to be. Don't do that. Don't abdicate your spiritual influence to another. Your example matters. Your speech matters. Your teaching matters. Your conviction matters. Your influence matters. And you must answer for yourself. As the Lord taught us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. You don't cover your light. You don't lose the savor. Which means you don't abdicate your spiritual influence and leadership. Husbands, don't put off the spiritual leadership in your home to your wives. And parents, don't put off and abdicate the spiritual leadership over your children to Bible class teachers. Or some other outsource. Members of the local church, don't put off all of your ministry, service, and duty to the elders, to the preacher. We don't abdicate what we are responsible to do for God to another. God has put us in people's lives to influence them for Christ, and we can't hand that off. Abijah handed it off. It was his failure. King Abijah, his background, his valor, his failure. And some good lessons for us as we walk with God. If you want to take out your put away your notes. We're going to have some more song worship. Brother Johnson's going to come forward and lead us in that song worship. What does Abijah mean? What does Abijah mean? We wrote it down. Yahweh is my father. Yahweh is my... You know, another way to say that is I'm a child of God, isn't it? I'm a child of God. But he was not a loyal child of God. And thanks to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we too can call on Yahweh as Father. That's what the Lord does. He brings us into his family. By forgiving us of our sins and restoring us through the gospel of Christ, we're children of God. We're children of God. So two questions tonight. There may be some in the room who are not children of God. You've not become a child of God by obedience to the gospel of Christ. Would you do so now? Would you put Jesus on in baptism because we have water ready and clothing and ready? Everything's ready for you to become a child of God tonight. Won't you do that? And for the person who is here and you say, I've been baptized, I am in Christ, I am a child of God. Then your question, my question, are you a loyal child of God? Is your heart wholly devoted to God? Or there's some things that you need to pray about and confess to the Lord to be right with God. We want to have all the valor and courage to serve God mightily, publicly and privately. But our heart must be pure that we don't repeat the failure of King Abijah. If we can help you tonight with any spiritual need, we invite you to come forward and make it known now. Together we stand and sing. Won't you come?